time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Friday fun day, I bring to you show number 7. What was it? Thumbs up 7-11 or?
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Thumbs up 7. What was it? It was something like
7
that.
Heaven or whatever it was.
Yeah.
There you go. Styles and Watkins.
Shout out elementary school.
Sactown Sports. Shout out elementary school.
All those games.
Shout out
rock,
paper, scissors.
Teachers, yeah. Man.
Hey, yo, shout out substitute teachers. Because if a substitute teacher showed up.
Yeah. Oh, it was. You know,
throw on the movie.
Yep. Roll out that cart.
That's right.
With the TV on it. You know.
That's right. And we're not rolling anything out tonight.
No.
Today, because we got a great show for you. We got some sound from everybody's favorite NBA talking head, Nick Wright. I know everybody's going to love that. And later in the show at 1:15, Hunter Patterson, NBA writer for The Athletic. That's going to be great as well on a Friday fun day. Chris Watkins, how are you doing? You know,
great.
2 days removed
from
our tie in golf.
Yes.
And you know, we'll run it back.
Yeah,
but
we definitely
how are you doing?
Feeling good, feeling rested, you know, feeling ready for the weekend for sure. It's, you know, the Niners have a bye this week, so
yeah.
I might actually be able to, you know, do something on Sunday, you know, so that might be a nice little change. But yeah, besides that, excited for the weekend, of course.
Yeah,
how
are
you doing? How you doing? Because I know you golfed yesterday, and you know, you got
a
family
lot going.
Moving in this weekend. So.
No, yeah, I got a lot going. I have... We're finishing the move.
Oh, man.
Okay. And like
That's
we said, by the way, we have an update on De'Aaron Fox. We'll get into James Harden. I am the system.
Mm-hmm.
You are a joke. So we'll get into that as well. NFL in Germany. Why? Nobody cares out there, but we're going to talk about it.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, what I want to talk about right now is moving, because we move this weekend. Okay. Wifey is finally coming. The bachelor party in Sacramento's
over.
It was a good run, though.
It was a good run.
You were a part of it.
Yep.
You were a part of it.
Yep.
We hung out. I had some mac and cheese. It was great stuff. It was good stuff.
It was a wild time.
It was a wild
time.
We had some mac and cheese at 2 o'clock, and it's over now. But I have to ask you, when it comes to moving, because we've just graduated to just movers, right? And my buddy's hitting me up. Oh, I got a buddy that's got a truck that's got this. No.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But we're getting a truck now.
Yeah.
Or we're getting movers. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely, it gets to that point with everybody, and especially with as big of a move as what you're making.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're definitely clearing some land there.
We got a crib, and we got all this.
You got all that stuff, and you're moving it a good bit. Like, you don't want to just, you know, strap that thing
right,
in the back of someone's truck with some tarps.
You always see them on the freeway, and I just avoid them.
No, you don't want to be going 40 miles an hour down the bridge and all the way down.
No.
That's doing way too much. So, yeah, you did the right thing by bringing the movers in. I'm sure it cost a little bit extra, but it's kind of that cost benefit, you know, where it's like, it's so much worth it. And I'm glad that, you know, you ain't got to lift a finger this weekend.
No.
Cause I know moving, especially, you know, when you're the one doing the moving especially with the significant other, can be a lot of, you know, contentiousness in the air when moving starts to happen.
No, put it this way.
The other way.
Yeah, the other way. You ever played Tetris?
Yeah.
Did you play Tetris growing up or not? So I'm glad.
Yeah, you don't want any of
hopefully
that.
We don't have to deal with that. Hopefully, smooth move to, I guess, everybody. Shout out to my listeners in Natomas.
Yes.
Right? And apparently we're called the NATO.
Okay.
We're in the NATO now. That's where
Natomas could also kind of be the toe as well.
It could be the toe,
you know.
See, Chris doesn't care today.
No.
I can already tell.
No.
After
Friday, man.
After he put up Shaq Kobe numbers yesterday with his moral victory rant. So now Chris is just mailing it in.
I'm
happy for it. We're going to talk about James Harden. We're going to talk about the NFL. You finally got Tyreek Hill going up against the Chiefs, who he has had a lot to say. And Tyreek Hill, honestly, I know we're not going to talk about the troubled past. We know he's on record. We know all of that stuff. But as a receiver,
man,
I do think that weirdly he's underrated somehow.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, I think you know, it's hard for me to say this, and I think it should carry a little bit of extra weight because of my fandom circumstances, but I really do think that this is the season where it really cemented to me that Tyreek Hill is the best receiver in the NFL right now.
Really?
I really think so. I think he is the most dangerous receiver in the NFL. The fact that he's able to still continue to put up this level of production mm-hmm. with Tua, who... You know, frankly, I mean, before
Lefty,
I know, I'm not going to disrespect him too much. So, have you seen the mirrored video of Tua throwing?
Yeah, and everybody likes
all of
it
a sudden,
better.
Yeah, all
everybody
of a sudden,
likes it better.
When it's right-handed, everybody likes Tua more.
Right, right.
But, you know, Tua had a lot of struggles before Tyreek got there. Like, his career was very much, I wouldn't say in flux, but there was a lot of question on which side of the fence Tua was going to fall on. Mm-hmm. Was he going to be a bust or was he going to be something to build around? And then once Tyreek Hill got there, I mean, everything took off. And I think the fact that, yeah, Tyreek is having the best numbers he's had of his entire career, and it's not just because of Patrick Mahomes. I think it's really, really tough to deny that that guy who, if I'm not mistaken, already has 1,000 yards, and we're not even halfway through the season.
Yeah.
He's the best receiver in the NFL, or at least I'll say most dangerous. I don't know if there's categories,
right.
or, you know, specifics in words, but he's definitely the most dangerous receiver in the NFL, and, you know, I think... He's head to head with Justin Jefferson, in my opinion.
Yes,
the best.
Yes, and some people would have Devontae.
Sure,
but
absolutely.
He's been relegated to the upside down.
He's just trying to get two catches right now. He's just like,
can I get two catchable balls? Can I use my gloves? Yeah. Can I use my gloves one time? And you know what's interesting about that is growing up. When you talk about the Randy Mosses and the TOs,
right.
and I give love to my Zonts on this show. And if you're just tuning in, Zont, you're horizontal. You are under 6 foot. Verts are above 6 foot, so you're more vertical. And I give love to my Zonts on this show because I have to, because nobody else does, because I watch Love Island. I watch all the shows, and nobody gives love to the Bachelor, all those
Anytime
shows.
Anytime you're 6 foot,
you're not 6 foot. This is not the show for you. And this is the thing, though. When you're talking about the best receivers, growing up, it was always the 6'4 prototype.
Right. Calvin
Megatron,
Johnson's, exactly.
Right, all
Randy
of that.
Moss is the TO.
All of those
like
guys.
Said,
but
yeah.
nowadays, these quick hitters, I mean, I think Cooper Kupp is barely a vert, but these guys, right? These guys, this kind of slant receivers, those type of players, those are the guys that are now kind of making the biggest impact. And Tyreek Hill has really changed the mold, because you think of Tyreek Hill, okay, you think of DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
We're just going to go route.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
Tyreek Hill is so quick, he's still dangerous in the end zone, in the red zone.
Yeah.
You always think of, we need the big target, the 6'6 tight end.
To throw it up to him.
But even still, Tyreek Hill has found a way, because he's so quick. And the only thing I will say, as a baseball player and as a smaller baseball player, is I am so sick and tired of the stupid meme or graphic that they have when it's Aaron Judge on second base next to Jose Altuve. Can we stop posting that? Because Jose Altuve...
Is that triggering for you?
Yeah. You know why? Because Jose Altuve has whip in his hips like no one has ever seen. There's not a bunch of Jose Altuves running around.
Yeah.
So, oh my goodness, in baseball, anybody,
right.
all sizes, all shapes.
It's Jose Altuve, the most exceptional athlete in the history of that sport.
That guy could probably dunk. I guarantee Jose Altuve could probably dunk. So I don't want to hear it. I'm sick of it. But I'm telling you, those quick twitch muscles.
Yeah.
Be careful there. So I'm so sick of it. And when you're looking at everything that everybody does and how they, you can do this, you can do that. You can if you have exceptional talent in a certain way. And Tyreek Hill kind of breaks that mold because he has he raced in the Olympics.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah, and I think I remember seeing him win like a qualifier.
He won something.
Yeah.
I remember that. So before you say, you can be a receiver to your child or whoever it is, if he's running like Tyreek, maybe so.
Maybe.
And I see Amid Rock, Mookie Betts, I'll put him on the list. Mookie Betts is every year he's in contention for Zont of the Year. Every year he's in contention because he's so good, but he cannot do it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We got issues, so thank you, Amid Rock, but he can't do it in the playoffs. So a lot to get into. We got to get to a break. Kyle's telling me we got to go. We got to get to a break. When we get back, we got sound from De'Aaron Fox. A lot of contention when it comes to who hears what and what they hear it from and who they hear it from. All that and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
station in Sacramento giving you local sports coverage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Sactown Sports.
We are back on a Friday Fun Day, show number 7. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think we said it yesterday. I think we had so much going on. I do not think I said show number 6.
I feel like you did.
Okay, but I feel like I would have done the drizzy 666, and I don't remember.
Probably would have.
I don't remember doing that.
You mentioned it right off the top, and then I don't think you brought it up again.
Okay. Well, as long as I did it, and to tick off whoever on the YouTube chat wants me to stop doing it, as long as I did it, we're good here.
Check.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, Styles and Watkins, 916-339-1140. Sactown Sports taking you up to 2 p.m. as I get ready to get into moving. After this, I gotta drive back to the Bay.
Oh man.
Grab all our stuff and we move tomorrow. It's gonna be
That's a day.
It's gonna be a fun time.
I've actually
been looking forward to it.
You say that with sarcasm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I mean, some people really do enjoy the moving process. Like some people,
I don't know
about moving, but like cleaning things out. Like,
yeah.
You know, having an opportunity.
The only good
rearrange.
Thing is that we have cleaned out a lot of things that we needed to clean out.
Alan, how much of a hoarder are you? Do you have a lot of extra stuff?
I'm like half hoarder.
Yeah. Because that's the thing about moving, too, is you figure out how much just unnecessary stuff you have lying around, and it's like, it's a perfect opportunity.
I got a Mighty Ducks jersey that I can't get rid of, that I probably should get rid of.
You know, clothes are its own separate issue. It's more like, you know, you got some knickknacks, you got some, you know, Allen's first home run ball sign.
Yeah, no, actually, I don't even know where that is in the streets.
Really?
But I remember my first home run, it was in Pony.
Oh,
first home run
over the fence. Yeah.
13 years old, and I hit it, and I'm rounding the bases. My dad's already on the phone. He didn't even see the ball go over the fence. He's already on the phone because he's just like, I mean, I've been waiting for this for 13 years.
Yeah.
I don't know when I'm going to get it back.
I knew it was going to happen.
He's on the phone. We're going to the league. We did not go to the league. We went to a different league. We're here. We're doing sports with you at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And De'Aaron Fox, who is in the league, some things to say about Shams, who had an update yesterday on his injury, but now De'Aaron is questioning where Shams got that information from.
So Shams says there's a chance you play Saturday.
Well, I didn't see that report.
That's it. Yeah, his face tells it all, too. Like,
yeah.
You have to watch the video.
He's definitely annoyed, and my question to you, Chris, and to the listeners is the intrusion, and I've seen a lot of people even stated as well when whoever for the Raiders broke what's going down with the Raiders, and then the Raiders tweeted a minute after.
Right.
Do you have a problem with the Shams and the Wojes of the world with their inside information and how athletes are kind of going up and saying, hey, I don't know where they're getting this information from?
Yes, definitely have an issue with it because it seems like these guys, like the situation you just kind of laid out, it seems like these guys are getting information before players and sometimes even like the team is getting information. So that it's just concerning. Like, I mean, you know, yes, of course it is Shams and Woj's job to, when they find out that news, they're newsbreakers. Like they're not... they are journalists, but they're almost like a new form of journalism where you're not writing stories. You're not really telling stories even. You're just you're breaking news. And that's really all that they're there to do. And so, you know, they've kind of created their spider web of connections that has really, really deep seated roots in pretty much every organization. I don't think it's every single organization because sometimes we've seen them get some information wrong or, you know, just not necessarily 100% accurate. I mean, I think it's definitely a problem when these guys seem to have information that isn't being real, like that isn't told through play. Like they're breaking trades that players can't even call. You know, their families or anybody, they can't find it out because everybody's finding it out at the same time.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm still trying to figure out how the people that are giving Shams and Woj this information, how it benefits them. Like certain things I get, but the trades and updates like this, like, what does it benefit somebody on the Kings? Yeah. And I'm not saying there's a leak in the system.
No,
but,
for sure.
But if De'Aaron, yeah. is saying, I don't know where Shams got this information, somebody told it to him, but why did that person tell it to Shams? I have no clue. What does that person have to gain from telling Shams? Because he can't even say who he got the information from. So I don't really understand that. And then you have De'Aaron, who just ticked off about it.
Yeah. If I had to guess, I mean, everything has currency, right? And I would assume that it's information exchange.
So like, you think Shams is paying?
No, I would just say, like, information is his currency.
There is sometimes where they are, though. Like, there's been reports of Adam Schefter spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on gifts for people who are his sources. Contracts, information has been leaked. There's stuff about this that's been out there.
I'm just going to say, I think that at the very least, like, it's a, hey, you know, you give me this information now, but if we want to ask you about someone's market or something like that, you know, like, hey, we're thinking about trading Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter for this. Like, from what you're hearing about what they're getting offers for Damian Lillard, do you think that that's too much, too little? Like, I think it's things like that where they're kind of getting exchange of information that would be my guess.
But that's different to me than a random update about an injury.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think it's you scratch my back, I scratch yours, as everything kind of is. Yeah. Especially in that
I get
information
that. And De'Aaron himself, again, is talking about his pain. Here he is where he says where the level is at.
Oh, like a 4. I feel like it's more like the impact of hitting the ground and pushing back is what hurts, but I feel like coming down and like falling on someone's foot is it's a lot easier to come back from that. Like, that's happened multiple times, but I think I twisted my ankle and then jumped off of it, so that I feel like that's where it really it hurt more. So
see, that's how that's how I felt when we were golfing.
yeah
that's why we
that's
tied.
Why it was yeah that's why we right tied. right yeah. Injured, hampered.
That's exactly how
I mean, you know, I could see how, yeah, like De'Aaron said there, like, in basketball, do you think it's a problem if it hurts to land when you jump? And then also,
I think
he said to push off.
Yes.
That sounds like it wouldn't be great,
great
for playing basketball.
Not great. Okay. Not great.
And also, 4 is, like, pretty close to, like, 5, which is, you know, like, that tells me, like, your injury's not, you know.
But the fact that he even said 4.
It's halfway healed is what
honestly, in my mind, if I hear 4, again, like we've been talking about, and yesterday the Shams report, if you weren't with us, the Shams report is that he would be ready to go, De'Aaron Foxwood, as soon as Saturday.
Right.
Right? So, and Chris and myself, we both felt like, you don't need to.
Nope.
You don't need to. You can if you want, but you don't necessarily need to.
Right.
We would love to see you on, what was that, Monday?
Monday, right.
And give yourself a rest. So if he's at a 4 and he's talking about that, he might play tomorrow.
I don't know why. Like, I mean, and what do you think, before we get in, like, what do you think's the number that De'Aaron plays at? Because everybody plays injured. Like, I was thinking if it's like at a 2, I bet he plays.
If he
would describe his pain as a 2, I think that's like where it's like, I'm going to play through that.
Well, even a 4, I feel like he's going to play one of the days. I just don't know which one.
I feel like it makes a lot more sense to kind of vibe it out. You don't play Saturday. Mm-hmm. You see how your team looks. If you feel like after that game, like, I mean, if the Kings win Saturday, what are you going to do? Why are you playing Monday? Like, why even do it? Your team already showed the ability to play without you. Mm-hmm. Again, just take the extra days off. There's no rush. Houston, though they're improved this season, isn't necessarily a world-beating team. I would just sit it out, especially if you win tomorrow. Why play on Monday? And, of course, if you lose on Saturday, then there's a little bit more sense of urgency of like, well, we can't drop 2 to Houston. We have we have to make sure we beat the Golden States, the Phoenixes of the world. Dropping games, especially 2 against Houston. Mm-hmm. So that would be how I would address it. I just feel like tomorrow is just way, way too soon. What he got hurt on Sunday, last Sunday, Sunday night even at that. So I just don't feel like 5 days is enough rest.
I just think it's unnecessary. And to your point, again, for those who didn't know, De'Aaron Fox from the Texas-Houston area getting his jersey retired in high school tonight.
Tonight, yeah.
Tonight, so that's why we think that's a big reason why he's even with them on this trip. Obviously, saying his pain is a four, I think he would be with them either way. But obviously, he wants to play at some point in Houston in front of the home crowd. But you got two games. Yep. And luckily for Kings fans, you do have two games. So I don't know why you would have to play on Saturday when you have the Monday game. That's you can play as well.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, and you know, De'Aaron did deny yesterday. Brendan, our very own Brendan Nunes, asked him, like, does playing in Houston play any impact in this decision? And, of course, De'Aaron said, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I 100% believe that. I think it definitely plays, even if it's 2% of a factor. I think it's definitely playing into the fact that it's even being considered. But yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing, first and foremost, nothing else should matter. It shouldn't matter that he's in Houston. It shouldn't matter that he's on the road. Shouldn't matter if the Kings win or lose a game first and foremost tomorrow. All that should matter is De'Aaron Fox is healthy and him playing isn't going to further aggravate the injury. That should literally be the only thing that anyone's concerned about. And I would even, if I were the Kings medical staff, I wouldn't let this be De'Aaron's decision. I know to an extent you want to have players have a part in that decision-making process, but sometimes
it's also too early.
Yeah,
man.
I just think you need to protect your players sometimes, and sometimes players
from themselves
exactly. Yeah. They don't have the best scope of what is best for them, especially in the short term, but also in the long term as well. When it comes to injuries, you got to protect your guys, and I think that this is just. There's no reason. There's absolutely, and there's no downside in resting him besides maybe losing another game. But having De'Aaron available for the long term is exponentially more important.
Yeah, yeah. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we're going to mix in a little bit of Football Friday as we talk Raiders and the new regime in Vegas. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Good morning, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter. These are your Sactown Sports headlines. The Sacramento Kings play at the Houston Rockets tomorrow night at 5 p.m. De'Aaron Fox may have a chance to play Saturday or Monday after spraining his ankle last Sunday. You can hear from Fox in Brennan Nunes' latest story up right now at SactownSports.com. And our coverage of the game will tip off at 3:30 tomorrow. G-Man on the call at 5. The NBA in-season tournament begins tonight with 7 games slated. The Golden State Warriors will play against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first game in Group C. Those are your headlines. Reminder, all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Now let's return to more of Stiles and Watkins.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sactown Sports.
We are back. Sactown Sports. Stiles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. on this Friday, fun day, NFL Friday, football Friday, whatever you want to call it. Even though we're talking Kings, so regime Friday, beam regime Friday? No.
Yeah.
I'm trying. Yeah. And by the way, I just got to tell you right now, I'm getting roasted on Twitter for something that
I
posted.
I heard.
And you know what? I posted, I stand by it. So Klay Thompson, I was informed, I did not know this initially, but Klay Thompson, after he hit that shot on Davion Mitchell, did the too small, and he did the rockabye baby, which Russell Westbrook does a lot. But he did it after he turned around. And to me, that's kind of soft. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do something, do it to somebody's face, and I have no problem. I am down with bat flips. I'm waiting for the day where somebody just does cartwheels all around the base path. I don't care. But do it to somebody's face and let them know. So, Klay Thompson, you hit the shot. Good for you. It was one of not many that you hit that day, but you hit the most important one. And now, all of a sudden, you're doing the rockabye baby. You're doing the too small after you turn around. That's soft to me. That's just how I feel. After you turn around, I'm not into it. And I posted it on Twitter, and I said it on Twitter. I said, it's soft. and I'm getting toasted. Where are you at? Am I out of line? Did I do too much? Or did Clay do too much?
First off, you should have seen the hate coming your way. There was no way that you were going to just be able to have the Bay Area following that you have and just throw that out there and not expect something.
And
back.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is it's not like you're coming and you're like, oh, like I'm getting canceled.
I do love it. Yeah,
it's Sacramento Zone defending our city.
Sacramento Zone. Yeah. I'm from the NATO. Sacktown, I'm from the
Styles.
Town. Okay, Sacktown Styles. I got something for you.
Let y'all know.
Yeah.
I mean, just to be devil's advocate, like, could you argue that maybe Clay was just being respectful? Like, he was like, I don't want to disrespect Davion Mitchell. He played great defense.
No, come
all
on
me.
Now.
I just want to celebrate with my teammates.
Stop.
I just want to say, I don't want to hurt you guys. You guys played a great game tonight. You guys deserve all the credit. Okay, I don't want to disrespect you guys, so I'm just going to celebrate with my team.
I'm out on that because after Clay infamously or famously last season got roasted himself for doing
the four.
He walked every time the Warriors got toasted. I'm throwing up the four. So he goes on podcast P, George's podcast, and he says, "Yeah, you know, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I would have done things differently." So I think it's a new and improved Clay. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, once you get into the thick of it, once you get into the fire, now all of a sudden you're reverting back. And
for
it's
sure.
just and that's why I say the whole mind control, Kings, you gotta get it done. But I really hope you don't have to face off against the Warriors because there's just so much random stuff going on, but I didn't like it.
No.
If you're going to do it to somebody's face.
Especially when you got that number 30 guy over there who is not afraid to do it in anybody's face in front of your
mom.
Clay
is writing checks that he can't cash. Draymond been writing checks that he can't cash. They're all just like, yeah, we going to get you. Steph, get him. Yeah. Get him. You know what I mean? Yeah. And at some point, Steph is going to be like, leave me alone. Leave me alone. That is not my fight.
Yeah.
Okay? So I just had to say that. I'm out on Clay doing what he did. I don't like it, and I'm just, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely. I was just playing devil's advocate. I completely agree with you. I thought it was.
You don't mind Clay.
I don't mind Clay, but I don't like the 1-2-3-4. I don't like the. I also agree that it is soft. Like it is, you know, if you're gonna do it.
Do it to his face.
Do it to his face. Like, what you hiding for?
Because
he clearly,
no
like,
problem.
He was turned around. He also
clearly.
If you watch the video, he did not, like, rock the bait. He did not. Russell Westbrook will, like, swing
because
his arms like a pencil.
Because he was trash all game.
He was scared. He was like, was that just a little bit bait? Like, like, he was like,
rock the baby if you're going to rock the baby.
That's what I'm saying. If you're
that baby's
do it,
not asleep.
If you're going to do it, you might as well do it.
Yes.
Like, there is no, oh, okay, the respectful thing was just something I was throwing out there.
Yes.
But, like, there is, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it and, like, stand at center court and freaking do it.
Stand on business.
Yeah.
Stand on business.
Come on.
Stand on business, Clay. Okay, that baby's not even asleep the way you were half rocking. So we'll see what happens next for what we play them in 20-something days. So we don't have to talk about the Warriors anymore. Glad to not talk about them as we talk about the Beam team and the Beam regime. But let's get into the black and silver a little bit. The Raiders and Antonio Pierce, the new regime, they are feeling good. They are feeling froggy. They are feeling very excited about what they have going on. Here's Antonio Pierce and his entrance to the black and silver as a head coach.
And had opportunities to leave and go to other organizations, and I decided not to. The short story, the matter of fact, is I grew up in Compton, California. I was born a Raider. I was born with the Raiders rolling in the Coliseum in L.A. I was rolling with NWA, talking straight out of Compton, rocking Raider hats. So when the opportunity came to work with Josh and Pat Graham and Dave, I jumped on it. So that's what set me up for this. I was born this way.
I mean, that's just a piece of it.
I'm ready.
If that doesn't
get
you...
I'm going to run through a wall right now.
If that doesn't get you... I mean, I got goosebumps a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I'm a Raider fan, though.
I mean, no, that's what makes the Raiders so great, though, too, is, like, their fan base is incredibly underrated. Like, mm-hmm. it is really sad that they haven't been able to be as successful as what I think, you know, what they've been in their past, because there's nothing like, maybe, like, Cowboys fans are a little similar, but, like, it feels like Raider fans, they just really... Like, it's a part of them. It really is a part of who you are as a person. And, like, it seems like it's deeper than every other fan base. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's I have tons of Raider fans in my life, and like they're all the exact same. I mean, they, much like the Kings fans, it doesn't matter how bad they are. It's almost like they expect them to be bad every single year, and it doesn't change the fact that they care about their team just endlessly.
They
and,
don't care.
I mean, that's exactly what you would want to hear from a guy who's taking over in about as bad of a situation as what you could ask, maybe. I mean, funny enough, I think the Raiders have actually been in weirder situations or in coaching takeovers, but that's the exact kind of guy I would want in charge if the ship is sinking the way it seems like it is. It's just a guy who understands what it is at its core that that the Raiders are about.
Yeah, and to bring it back to the Niners and what's going on with Steve Wilks, I think that is where, and even Kyle Shanahan, this is the direction that I feel like coaching is going. A player's coach, younger guy. Yep. Let's
been in the league too.
Been in the league. Let's get down and dirty with our team. Yeah. So I think this really fits the mold of what has been successful lately. The Dan Campbells of the world, right? The Robert Salas. I know he's
D'Amico even. Yeah.
D'Amico, those guys. That's what it feels like. The trend currently is, right? So
the Jeff Saturdays of the world.
Okay. No, okay. Well, he beat the Raiders. he beat the
that's
Raiders.
That's honestly, like, that is what the Raiders are hoping for this week. That it is that same, like, influx of just energy and hopefully looking like a team that they didn't look like the entirety of this season.
Right, right.
Even if it only is for 1 week, you know, this Raiders team has even seen, you know, under they already had the Rich Bisaccia run previously.
Should've kept them.
Kind of under this same exact situation.
Right.
Like, I wonder if, you know, I don't know if the talent is necessarily there on this team, like the quarterback, Derek Carr, that old Derek Carr isn't walking through the door anytime soon.
2016,
yeah,
Derek Carr.
He's not walking through that door anytime soon. So I don't know if they'll be able to have that kind of run, but I would at least expect the energy in that building to be a whole lot different. And I would hope that also, we were talking about Davante Adams earlier. Mm-hmm. I just hope that rule number one is get Davante the ball. Just put the ball in his hands. Please.
Yeah, just give him a chance.
And score 20 points.
So you're saying
just
there's
put
a
up
chance.
21.
Yeah.
Just once.
You mentioned Rich Bisaccia a second ago. That year that they made the playoffs, which, you know, the coach got fired under different circumstances.
Yes.
But it's the only time ever that a team has fired a coach midseason and made the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah. One of one. And again, it wasn't because of performance that the coach got fired.
No, it was not.
But they also weren't performing.
Yes.
Yeah. And they got better under, well, they won a lot of crazy one score games, but their record improved under Bisaccia.
Yeah. And they let him go. I believe he's in
Green Bay now.
So,
yeah, I believe he's their special.
You know, and I think the Raiders messed up there. I think they should have kept him, but now he's moved on, and we're going to see what happens with Antonio Pierce. And
he's got the right energy, that's for sure.
He definitely does, and I think that's exactly what people are looking for. So we'll see what happens with the Raiders. Got to get to a break. When we get back, I had some things to say about our guy, Keegan Murray. Does he have the yips? Is he in a slump, or is it just a slow start? That and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Oh, what's up, Vancouver?
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sacktown Sports.
We are back, Sacktown Sports, on a Friday fun day. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. You're going to want to hang around for Hunter Patterson at 1:15, NBA writer for The Athletic. That's going to be a good time as we talk to him about all things Kings. We broke down me moving, fully moving, finally finishing the move to Sacramento, to the NATO, to the toe this weekend. That starts tomorrow for me.
What
so,
have you been sleeping on recently? Do you have a
it's
bed?
It's been an air mattress.
Air mattress?
Yeah, oh it's God. Been
just
rough.
Like plopped in the middle.
Yeah,
of the
and you know what? If I'm being completely honest on this Friday fun day, every night at about 3 a.m., I wake up because it's leaking
it's flat,
air.
Yeah.
Gotta refill it.
Oh, man, you gotta get a new air mattress.
Has there been a time?
I had it for a while.
Has there been a time where you were just like, I'm not gonna refill
it? I'm not gonna refill
it's
it.
It's just too early.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's
wake up with the neck.
That's
pain.
What happened last night. It's been a couple times where I just let it rock. But this was the last night.
Yeah.
With the air mattress. Yep. We finished the move. So
love
very
that for you.
Excited
you
for
got
that.
Boots on the ground in the toe.
Boots on the ground. We are really putting down roots and boots in the toe. So very excited about that. As I said, very excited about Hunter Patterson joining us at 1:15, NBA writer for The Athletic as we take you up to 2 p.m. before the drive, guys. And we talk about Keegan Murray and what's going on with Keegan Murray. I know I've been a bit harder on him than you have been, Chris.
Yeah.
I don't think he's played poorly. I'm not saying he's played poorly, but I'm saying there are hotter starts he could be on that he is not on right now. And if the Kings are going to take that next step, it seems like De'Aaron might play very soon. So I guess we can, in this instance, stop talking about De'Aaron being out. But either way, you're going to need Keegan to take that next step.
Yeah.
What have you seen from Keegan? How do you feel about
it? I just think the shots aren't going in. I really think it's as simple as that. I think the leap has been made. It's just not showing up necessarily in the efficiency stats. You look at the raw numbers. I mean, Keegan has made a leap. He went from 12.2 in his rookie season to right now he's at 14.5, but he's shooting 36% from the field, 27% from three. Last year he shot 45% from the field, 41% from three. So he's already shown. I mean, he's taking five more shots a game, taking three more threes a game, mm-hmm. and he's got his percent or his points per game up about 2 points. So again, like, he's clearly more involved in the offense.
Yeah.
And if he's hitting at the same percentages that he's hitting last year, he's at like 16, 17 a game. So
right.
I think in terms of the skills, the abilities, and what we were hoping to see him do, he's doing it. It's just not showing up in made baskets. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I don't think Keegan Murray is going to shoot 27% from three at the end of this year.
I don't think so.
Think he's going to shoot 36% from the field at the end of this year. So my hope is, and it's not a guarantee, but mm-hmm. my hope is, as those percentages go up, I assume the points per or the field goal attempts and the 3-point attempts will probably stay around the same.
Right.
I'm just hoping that the percentages going up leads to points going up as well. And okay. I think at that point it just looks a lot better. But I didn't realize his percentages were that bad. I just looked at the end of the box score. He had 15 at the end of game one, 16 at the end of game two, 17 at the end of game three, mm-hmm. and then of course what he had in that Warrior game. 0 of 7 from three, like
that's
he's not going to be able
this
to
this early.
Put up stats.
Yeah, this early, that's going to tank your percentage.
Exactly, that too.
Any way you look at it, 916-339-1140. Is Keegan Murray in a slump or is it just a slow start? Yep. So when I talk about Kevin Huerter and when we talk about Kevin Huerter, I would say that I think it's getting very close to you got the yips because I think the yips also affects free throws and things like that. I think Kevin Huerter is in a slump because I think Kevin Huerter's in a slump and I look at what he's done against the Warriors and all those types of things, I would say Keegan Murray is not in a slump. I am still in the camp that it is just a slow start, a slower start than we would have hoped for, and I believe that he will figure it out.
Yeah, because the shots that he's taking are good shots, right? Mm-hmm. Would you say that? Like, would you say he's also taking open? Like, would you agree with me that they're just not going in? Like,
they're
have
just
you
not going
just
in.
Eye test wise from what you've seen from Keegan this year? Would you say that you have been the expectations have been met, or like, just again in terms of how it looks, mm-hmm. in terms of what he's doing, putting the ball on the floor? Have you liked what you've seen from him?
Yeah.
Aside from the shots going
yes,
in or not?
Yes, okay. Definitely.
Then I would say that's a positive.
And when the shot isn't going in, I think I really like what he did against the Warriors a couple
of
nights ago when he decided to get to the cup, see if the floater's fallen, and do those different types of things. So I'm very excited about that, but I don't want a lot of nights where the shot isn't going in because I don't know that the Kings can afford it.
Sure.
But I will say, not to take it, to GP2 and that sound we played last week, there's only one number 30 and Steph Curry. So having to guard him, not that Keegan guarded him all night, but he guarded him for a lot of the night, that's going to take a lot out of your legs.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens in Houston. You got two games in Houston. That's a get right.
Yes.
That's get right.
Two get right.
Everybody should get right. You got two games in Houston to get right. Kevin Huerter, get right. Keegan Murray, get right. Malik's already been right, but we need guys to get right in Houston and move forward so that the Beam team is ready to just take off once you have to deal with teams that are tougher, because as we know, this Western Conference is nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you say Kevin Huerter, you feel like he has the yips. Do you mean the actual yips, mm-hmm. where it's like you feel like he physically can't get over a hurdle, or do you think it's more of just more saying he's just mentally in his head and that's stopping him from doing something, which is kind of the same thing, but like yips is almost like almost like a disease.
No,
like
you have to like the latter. Okay, it's gotcha. In his head. Because just, I'll tell you a story, and I'll be very honest with the listeners. So, you know, I talk about Temple University, and
yes,
I talk about how I played baseball, and it was a great time out there. Shout out Philly, shout out cheesesteaks. If you're going to Philly, shout out Ish Kabibbles. That's the
that's
my number one.
Okay.
That's my number one, and we're hopefully another Temple Owl, Kevin Negandhi, on SportsCenter. I spoke with him, had a conversation long time ago on my random podcast. Hopefully we'll have him on the show soon, but
great.
He's down for Ish Kabibbles as well. But I say all this to say that, you know, it was a scrimmage. Mm-hmm. It was only a scrimmage, Chris, and I don't know what it is, man. I just, it wasn't feeling right. And I was in left field, and I was batting second, and I had the world at my fingertips in a scrimmage at University of Penn. And I felt great about the day going into the scrimmage. I'm going to hit a bomb. I'm going off.
Yeah.
Did not go off. What happened was in the first inning, a ball came to left field. And the ball came to left field, and I said, I got it. The ball started to come down. And the ball was in my glove, and then it popped out of said glove, and it fell on the ground, and everybody stared at me, and I missed the ball. It popped out of my glove, and after that, I had what I think would be the first case of catching yips. After that, I never had a problem catching the baseball. And after that, I struggled, man. Mm-hmm. I struggled really hard. I worked with coaches. And it was all in my head. I can catch a baseball.
Yeah.
Right? I go
You've
out
been
today.
Doing it your whole life.
My whole life. But it's
not even
mental.
Thinking about it. Yeah.
It's mental,
it's the
right?
The second you start to think
the
about
The second
it.
You start to think about it. So I say all that to say Kevin Huerter and what he's going through, he can shoot the basketball.
Right.
We saw he was there. He was the last guy in the gym shooting the basketball, and every ball was going in.
But even
once
that,
it's a thing.
Say, yeah. Wouldn't you even say that him shooting, because I think you even put it on social media, and mm-hmm. I agree with you completely, like, isn't even him shooting after practice, mm-hmm. isn't that kind of acknowledgement of everything,
That's
too?
That's right.
And, of course, like, yeah, Kevin's struggling. He knows he's struggling. Getting up extra shots is the obvious thing to do, but still, it's an acknowledgement of something is not right here, and I just I got to shoot through it. The only way you're going to figure it out is just taking 1,000 jump shots and figuring out what the small tweaks are that's going to make you feel that level of comfort again. And it just, you can see it, like you said, like you can see Kevin Huerter every time he's about to shoot the ball, thinking should I shoot this ball?
I hope this goes in.
Yeah. I hope this is the one. And it's all mental. You won't see, you know, some people are saying, oh, I feel like Kevin has a hitch in his jumper. I don't think there's anything mechanically different. I haven't seen anything mechanically different with what Kevin's doing this year. It's just, it's not like Keegan where the shot, because, with Keegan, I would say it's as cut and dry as make or miss league. Keegan's just missing shots right now. Kevin Huerter, it doesn't look like he's just missing shots.
What's
going
on for longer?
Hesitation. Exactly.
Well,
that
you know
well.
What? And it's funny because we say it's gone on for longer, but Keegan didn't have a great series against the Warriors either.
He figured it out in real time,
which
is what was so impressive about what he did.
Yeah.
But you would also think that Kevin Huerter, a guy who's a veteran, a guy who's been in the Eastern Conference Finals with the Atlanta Hawks, would be able to kind of go through that also in real time and figure it out because he had been there, done that before. But that's almost, to your point, like that's almost even more reason to think that this is truly something mental. Like this is truly something that is in his head, because it's not just as simple as, oh, he's having a bad 2 weeks now. It's okay, he's now gone about 5 months of us not seeing the guy that we saw in the regular season last year. Like, because this is even preseason. Like, it's not like, you know, sometimes people are on fire in preseason and then miss every shot come regular season time or vice versa. We have not seen him even have the moments of like, oh, okay, but he had that one preseason game in Utah where he dropped 20. So, you know, we're just overreacting. No, this guy has not had a good shooting performance in about 5 or 6 months.
That's what I was going to ask, and we got to get to a break, but we'll talk about it when we get back. The last really good performance from Kevin Huerter.
I'll look it up.
When that was. We got to get to a break. When we get back, did Davion Mitchell turn the corner and what that means for the Kings? All that and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.